Hello and welcome to the Fanatics Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by me, the legendary Savak. And in lieu of my co-host from No Coast, I am joined by the lion-hearted, handsome Jimmy. But it is not about us today because we are joined by a very special guest. Our Miami locals may recognize her from NBC6 sports team. It is my distinct honor to welcome Ruthie Polinsky. Thanks for joining us. How you doing?
What an introduction. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's the honors all ours. Trust me. We were excited. That's why we're like, okay, we got to scramble. We're going to put this together. So don't worry.
He's usually horrible with the introductions too. So that, yeah, that was surprising.
He nailed that one.
Yeah. He went all out for you on that one.
Hey, you I rehearsed it a couple times. I wanted to make sure it was crisp. All right. So I did, you know, some of our listeners might not know because they're a little too lazy to, you know, Google your name and stuff, but you spent the first 4 years of your life in Ann Arbor, where you got to see the beginnings of Tom Brady's career, and it made you into a lifelong TB12 fan, which is kind of funny because now you're down there covering sports in a city where he has just been a thorn in the side of so many fans. So if you don't mind me asking, how is it that you came to be covering sports down there?
So, it's been a journey. So I was born in Ann Arbor. Yes, I lived there for the first 4 years of my life. My dad was training in Ann Arbor at the University of Michigan. And then they moved back to St. Louis, where both of my parents were originally from. And I grew up and was raised in St. Louis, but I always grew up loving Tom Brady, loving Michigan. I ended up going to the University of Michigan. I applied to one school, like that was it. I was going to Michigan, went there. And then out of college, I spent 2 years in Wichita Falls, Texas. It's a small market in Northern Texas. And I covered a lot of high school sports there. And from there, I covered the New England Patriots for 3 seasons in Providence, Rhode Island, where I was a part of the CBS and Fox affiliate sports team there. So we were the official Patriot station in Rhode Island. We had a weekly Patriots pregame show. And then we did a bunch of stuff pre and post game. I covered 2 Super Bowls. We did a bunch of stuff with the Pats, all the New England teams, but yes, was covered. So then, about in January, NBC6 contacted me to see if I was interested in an opening here. We were connected through a mutual connection. And I said, Miami, I'm like, yeah, I can do Miami for a little bit. So I'm here now. I moved here in March. My first week on the job, I've told this story a million times, but my first week on the job was the second week of March. My first Heat game that I covered was the last NBA game played. So before the bubble. So, got shut down my first week, and it's been kind of an interesting journey, but all the teams here and of course the Dolphins have been a blast to cover so far.
So that's incredible. She must either be like a really good student or a daredevil, because Michigan's a really good school and no safety school, huh? You just went with what you were going to Michigan and that okay. was it. No.
Okay. I had a safety school, but I wasn't going to go. I wasn't going to go, and I'm not going to throw it under the bus because, like, I'm not going to say what my safety school was because I don't want them to be like, oh, it's a safety school. But, like, Michigan was like,
it was Michigan or nothing.
Yeah. I can like appreciate it. That.
Yeah. I was probably going to go to college if I didn't get in, but I was set on, I had my sights.
Yeah, that was where their heart was set. You were like, forget this, burn the boats. I'm going to Michigan. I'm going to be a Wolverine.
Going down with the ship.
Yeah. It's like me. It was Notre Dame or nothing, and I just went with nothing. Okay. So, those were the two options. So
and look at you now. You're doing fine.
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
So are you still a Michigan football fan?
We're gonna do that. Okay.
I didn't make the question. Savak did. I just asked him.
I am Michigan through and through, but we're a basketball school. We're kind of like a baseball school these days.
Very good baseball team.
Yes, I am still a Michigan football fan through and through. I would prefer there be some changes within the football program. I think it's time for some change in that area of the campus. But we're just going to say yes, I'm always going to be a Michigan fan.
So you are just good, because the reason I asked was what your thoughts were on Harbaugh and if it was time for a change. I'm assuming that's the change you're talking about. So you think it's over there for him, huh? he hasn't done it. He hasn't won a big game. He hasn't won 11 games. It's just been bad.
I don't care if you are you lose every game of the season, but you beat Ohio State.
You beat Ohio State.
It doesn't matter. You can't be 0-5 against Ohio State and be the head coach of Michigan.
That's
all I'm saying. And I mean, whatever happened this year to like prevent him from playing a game against, I mean, of course, COVID, it's, we're not making light of the situation, but the fact that he didn't have to play Ohio State, which would have dropped him to 0-6 again against Ohio State, if that's what saves his job, like my mind is just like rattled. Like I'm rattled if like this guy is the head coach next year, but it's looking that way. So we're just going to stick through. We're going to just hope they win next year.
They'll be back. They'll be back. I was surprised it hasn't worked out. He came in as a good coach. I thought he was going to be great there, but.
Yeah. And I really liked that he was a Michigan man, right? Cause yep. That's something that we as Wolverines like really love to see, is someone that bleeds Michigan and like understands the passion behind the fan base and the student base and whatever. So I was really excited about him coming in, and, you know, I thought he was on track and I was excited about where it was going, but it just feels like we've regressed the last 2 years. And I just am a little frustrated because we can talk about the Dolphins here in a second, but you're the University of Michigan. Like, there's no reason that you can't recruit, or you shouldn't be able to recruit and get good players. And they are getting good players. So then it's like, okay, well, we got to look at the coaching here. So that's kind of the problem. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we're here to talk about the Dolphins. So get me all fired up before we start.
I'm sorry. That was the goal.
Exactly. That was the goal. Emphasize, just couldn't help myself. I saw, she attended the University of Michigan. I have to ask.
I get it.
I respect it. And I dig the school, you know. I was a big fan of the movie Red Dawn growing up. But Wolverines, yeah.
All right, we'll take it. Well,
that's where the school got its name from, was that movie.
The best helmet in college football.
It is nice. It is good.
Oh, with
best colors, the block M. Come on.
It looks so cool. That's why it's like the product on the field needs to match that. Match how 100%. Cool y'all look standing on the sideline. But
yeah. 100%.
But you're right, though. We're here to talk to Finns. So let's go ahead. Looking ahead to this upcoming game, the 6-7 Pats travel down to Miami to tangle with our beloved 8-5 Dolphins. And aside from the fact that historically Miami has seemed to have their number down there in South Beach, almost every ranking, metric, etc., has this game leaning in Miami's favor. So is this even a discussion? Does Miami have this in the bag, or should they be concerned about some Bill Belichick wizardry?
Well, I think you always have some concern when you're playing the Patriots, because Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick for a reason. And I think there's still a tremendous amount of respect for what he's done. And I think when you talk to this team, and what I've kind of got taken away from the team so far this week, when we're just like hearing from players and from Flo, I feel as though that's how they feel. There's a lot of respect and they're not taking them lightly, which is best case scenario. Because you want to hype them up and you want to feel like this is a losable game, and the Dolphins can't afford to lose this game. So I think that this is a game where, I mean, what I was shocked about was the spread and the Dolphins only being favored by, what is it? What is it right now? Is it
two and a half?
Two and a half. Like, what are we? I mean, that surprised me. I thought you know, somewhere in the maybe six or something. I don't know. So, That really
stinks. Yeah, that line stinks. It's sketchy.
Well, that really surprised me, because, you know, that shows you that the world is still scared of the Patriots. Yep. So I think that's kind of interesting, at least. But yeah, I don't think this is a game that's just in the bag, because we thought Denver was in the bag, right? I mean, that should have been a game that the Dolphins won, and Tua struggled in that game. And I think we're still learning a lot about him as a player. What I do think works in his advantage is that, you know, the Patriots defense is very similar to what Tua is going up against in practice every day, because it's Brian Flores, who comes from New England, and it's a similar defense. So I think Tua is prepared. I don't think this is a guy that's going to get rattled. And we saw that in the Chiefs game with how he was able to kind of fight back in the fourth quarter. He never gave up. He always felt like he was in the game. So I just think the problem with the Pats is it's hard to score points, I think, for them. And I think with the Dolphins defense, I think that they're really going to have to stop the run, but those are the keys to me. You know, it's Tua's got to play well, and it's, you got to stop the run.
Do you have any opinion, and this is kind of not off topic, but this isn't what I was going to ask. Do you have any opinion on Bill Belichick against his former coaches? Because I've always heard that he dominates and it's impossible and this and that. And I was looking up some stuff yesterday for our gambling podcast, and I found out he's like 12-14 now against former coaches. And he beats up on Bill O'Brien and Mangini and all these bums. Is that like a little overrated that he owns? He beat Matt Patricia. Cool.
Matt Patricia. I was at that game in Detroit. I was just going to bring up that game. I'll never forget that game. I went to Detroit. I actually like got a little Michigan trip out of it. But I covered that game, and them losing to that Lions team was crazy. So I think it's overplayed. I really do. And I think if you look at all of the Bill Belichick disciples, I think you're going to see that Brian Flores is very different. And I think that's something that Dolphins fans should be really excited about. But I will say that, I think it's overplayed. And I don't buy into that, because I think Bill not likes to see his proteges, you know, succeed necessarily, but I think he does take pride in that.
Yeah.
Has a lot of respect for those guys. And, you know, I think he still has a ton of respect for the Matt Patricias of the world. I think it's going to be interesting. And that's always interesting to see that interaction after the game when Bill loses. It's kind of, it's a little spicy.
See how he handles it. So this isn't a surprise to you or anybody. The Pats have not been good offensively this season. Currently, they're ranked 26th in points per game, 24th in total yards per game, 29th in passing yards, but they're 5th in rushing yards per game. So Miami's defense, with them playing as well as they are, how effective do you think New England's offense can be against the Dolphins?
I think that the Dolphins are going to force 6 turnovers.
Wow.
I mean, you get 4. I don't know. I just kind of made that up. But I think this is going to be sloppy for New England on offense. I think Cam threw – how many interceptions did he throw last week against the Rams? I mean, it was like, you know, he has 10 interceptions all year, I think. And I just think that's like, you know, against this defense, you don't have the room to make those mistakes. And so I think that that's kind of going to be crucial for this defense, for the Dolphins defense, to force those kinds of turnovers, interceptions, fumble recoveries. Those are things that you haven't seen Bill Belichick teams do in the past that they're kind of doing this year. So that's going to be really interesting to see how they kind of dissect the flaws in this Patriots offense.
And there definitely are some. Actually, it's funny that you brought that up about Cam's interceptions. I was reading somewhere, I think, there we go. He is actually one of 3 quarterbacks with 10-plus interceptions on fewer than 350 pass attempts. The other 2 quarterbacks with him are Drew Locke and Nick Mullins from San Francisco. So, yeah, safe to say he hasn't been playing very well, and safe to say that aerial attack is not going to be as big of a concern as the ground game, especially with X Howard back there in the secondary, owning a whopping 9 interceptions on the season now. I mean, wow. So the chink in Miami's armor has really seemed to be the rush defense. And with the Patriots averaging 147 yards per game, 147 rushing yards per game, excuse me, what can Coach Flo and Josh Boyer do to slow down their ground attack?
Well, that's kind of been the problem all year, right, guys? I mean, this Dolphins defense has really struggled to stop the run. They struggled to run the ball, and they struggled to stop the run. So that's really been the problem, and that's where you see room for the Patriots to get a win here. And that's what's scary. I think hopefully you have Kyle Van Noy and Alandon Roberts back. That's hopefully going to be crucial. But I think just to put a lot of pressure on these on them to and kind of force them to throw the ball, that's going to be the biggest way that you get out of this game easily. I mean, it's tough to stop Cam Newton. I mean, he's probably the hardest one to stop. So obviously immense respect for James White, and I think he's a lethal weapon, and he's been so wonderful to me over the years. But I think that, you know, there is a lot of there's a lot of pressure on this defense this week. You can't lose this game in the run game. You just can't do it.
No, you can't. Absolutely not.
I think that kind of week 1 matchup they kind of snuck up on the Dolphins, right? Like no one was expecting, no one knew what they were going to get from Cam, what the offense was going to look like. I don't think they're going to catch them sleeping again, right? Isn't that kind of what it was? They just weren't sure of what was going to happen, and Newton kind of dominated them on the ground, and Newton looked awesome in that game.
Yeah, that game was wild because we looked at that game and we're like, wait, the Patriots could be a Super Bowl contender this year. And I think that was what was so wild about that week one game is that we just had no clue what to expect from New England in general, not even just Cam, but a New England offense without Tom Brady. So I think that was kind of your biggest question mark of the game. And unfortunately, the Dolphins had to be the people to face it week one. You know, they had no film with no preseason, nothing. So I think that was kind of the, and then you see Cam kind of, he goes on the COVID list, you know, he comes back and he's just not really the same player and really hasn't been since. So I think you have a pretty good feeling about what Cam does well and what he doesn't do at this point in the season. You better, right? I mean, we're, what is this, week 14? So
15. I know, it's almost depressing. It gets upsetting.
It's over so soon.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think, and I will say, like, I think what we've seen from this defense for the Dolphins is they've had really good game plans going in. Mm-hmm. And they had a game plan for Patrick Mahomes, you know, and that's to say that that's something that's a big accomplishment to walk away from last week's game and say they knew what they were doing and they pretty much did it. You know, it's just the Chiefs, right?
And fun fact on that, I think the Dolphins were the first team to pick off Patrick Mahomes twice in one game since like 2017. So,
yep. Yeah. And I mean, Patrick Mahomes came into that game with two interceptions on the year. He threw three in that game. So it was, they did something right on defense, you know? So they still scored 33 points somehow. Crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah.
So flipping it over to the offense now, they've kind of started to find their groove a little bit, but they're still ranked 27th in the league. And rookie QBs are 7-21 versus Belichick as a head coach. And with the injury report now, it's piling up, looking more like a phone book. What do you think will be the key to besting Bill in this bout?
Yeah, I mean,
I know we gave you an easy one.
the weapons are tough. I think having Matt Breida back is huge because Gaskin's still on the COVID list. And I think that hopefully we see some sparks from Breida. And listen, I think he's been a little underwhelming this year. I think the run game in general has been a little underwhelming. And that's not completely to blame on the running backs necessarily, but hopefully they have a pretty good game plan. It feels like we're getting close to figuring out the run game, and that's going to be huge in this game. I think, listen, Gesicki was limited in practice today, and that's a huge sign. That's a good sign. The fact that he practiced at all, I'm not saying he's necessarily going to be back this week, but he's clearly not going on IR. So that's a good sign. Hopefully Gesicki's there. Devontae Parker is also back in practice. He was limited today, as was Jakeem Grant. So these are all good signs for the pieces around Tua. But the offensive line has got to block. And I think the biggest thing is that not only is Belichick facing a rookie quarterback, he's facing rookies on the offensive line. So he's going to take advantage of that because he's just so good at doing that and confusing offenses. So those are things that, you know, that's going to be crucial, is that Tua's got to be protected and they've got to create some holes for Breida and whoever they put in running back. I don't know, Lynn Bowden, someone's got to run the ball because they need someone, right? So that's what I'll say about kind of the key to the offense.
Okay, very good.
So up in the air for the receivers. It's just,
yeah,
you have so many limited options. Even if Gesicki and Devontae are out there, who knows if they're 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going up against, you got Stephon Gilmore on the other side of the field. I mean, this is, you know, this is no joke of a defense. some of their biggest names opted out. You have some really, really, really good guys on the other side of the ball.
It is pretty wild how some of those guys that did not opt out ended up shining, because we originally thought, like, as soon as we saw those opt outs, we're like, oh man, this defense is trash. They're not going to be anything this year. It hasn't quite been like that, actually. They've been very competitive. So I think you're absolutely right. And I'd love to see some of these young receivers maybe get a little bit more involved. I've been talking about Antonio Callaway all season long, and to the point where somebody even told me I had to stop until he did something.
Yeah.
And I know in the last game he was targeted twice and he didn't come up with either of them, and I was a little disappointed, but I'd love to see more of him and maybe a little bit more of some of these rookies, you know, your Lynn Bowden, Malcolm Perry.
Another interesting little piece to the puzzle here. I will say that Antonio Callaway didn't practice because of a non-injury related reason. So that's hopefully not going on the COVID list or anything, but that hasn't been announced yet. So just as of, you know, Thursday's injury report, he didn't participate for whatever reason. Oh, I'm sorry. I think he was back today. Scratch that. I can check on that. But I think he was back today.
Okay. Oh, hopefully so.
Hopefully so. But I will say Isaiah Ford, he's back. He's on the practice squad. He could get elevated. And that's someone that was just spent a little bit of time in New England and may have some little, you know, tidbits of what he saw. And so let's not forget about that guy, because I was really bummed when they traded Isaiah Ford and then Preston Williams got hurt. I thought that Isaiah Ford had a lot of potential in this offense. There just wasn't room for him. And now there's room for him. So let's get him in.
I couldn't agree more, actually. I have been a big fan of his ever since they drafted him, because I remember seeing that and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm watching his film from Virginia Tech and I'm like, this kid is incredible. What a steal in the seventh round. And then for him to just hang with the team for so long and then he finally gets it into the offense and into the games and he's showing out and making these clutch catches is just incredibly exciting to see, and then heartbreaking to see him traded. And then you get that heartwarming feeling when he comes back. And so I would love to see him get a little bit more involved. That would be really fun to see. But finally, like I said, we didn't want to keep you very long. So we just have one more question, which is we have to ask you for a score prediction. How do you think this one shakes out?
Wow, you really should have given me a heads up on this one.
That's it right there. That's your heads up. We want it.
That's it. You know, on the spot.
Right off the dome.
I'm going to go Dolphins win 28-24.
Whoa. I hope not, because I took out a second mortgage and put it on the under in this game, under 41.5, and that would fly over the total. So
yes, it sure would.
I'm just going to say, I think there could be a situation where it's like, kind of like the Dolphins last week. It's like, oh, are they in this? Could they actually win this? But like, they actually could, like, we kind of knew in our deep down that they couldn't win the game at that point. But unless a miracle happened, we get some miracle. But listen, New England is coming in. You know that they love that billboard material.
Yep.
Dolphins spoiled their first round bye last year. You know that they're talking about it. The media is asking them about it. They have that in their mind. And this is not a team that has their bags packed for the offseason yet. This is not a team where they're not in playoff contention and they don't care, because that's just not how Bill Belichick operates. Although they haven't really been in this position in what, 11 years. So I think that this is just a really, it's a little scary just because of who they are and what they do and how they're able to get their guys to continue to play even when nothing's on the line. They find ways to get guys to get up and play for these games. I think it's going to be it might be an ugly game, but I think it's going to be close.
I can imagine that. And you know what? That actually does remind me. I can't believe I didn't bring this up, because I bring this up literally every single episode. The special teams, Miami special teams, King Sanders.
Sanders, pay that man.
Yes.
Pay that man.
We need to sign him to a lifetime contract.
I think, and that's their bread and butter. And I think when you look back at the Chiefs game, and this was something I talked about after the game, but like giving up a punt return on special teams, it's just like, so uncharacteristic. And then for Sanders to miss a kick, you're like, a couple of things could have gone right there for the Dolphins. You know, they could have maybe won that game. And I also go back to the 2-minute drill before the half when Tua got sacked and they could have gotten into field goal range and kicked a field goal. You know, So these are certain things that I've thought about and you know, that make me feel like the Dolphins kind of hung with the Chiefs. Like, this is like a legit team. And I don't think they're a team that's going to go in there and blow out the Patriots, but they need to win this game and they should win this game. They are by far and away on paper, the better team.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And I agree with you. That's why we didn't end up doing a post game after the Kansas City game, but I came away from that one very okay with it. I was very positive and you know, it just seemed okay because we should have been, the team should be proud and the fans should be proud of how that team performed against the reigning Super Bowl champs. They really hung with them and stayed in that game the entire time.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I completely, and someone asked me, you know, is this a moral victory? And I said, there are no moral victories for a Brian Flores coach team because, you know, he's hailing from New England. There are no moral victories for the players, but that's a moral victory for fans. I mean, for Dolphins fans, this is a team that was down 20 points and like figured out a way to score two touchdowns in the fourth quarter and make it a game. Like that is a really promising sign for what Brian Flores is building here, the culture that's in that locker room and what he's saying to these guys and the fact that they're all playing for each other and for him. Things are trending in the right direction for this organization. It's really, really been fun to watch. And I came here at the perfect time. So pretty pumped about it.
Absolutely. So, hey, we want to thank you again for taking the time to sit down with us. We appreciate you chatting with us. Everyone else, look for her on NBC6 in Miami and follow her on Twitter at Ruthie Polinsky. Thanks again, Ruthie.
Thanks, guys, for having me. This was a blast.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ruthie.
And thank you again to Ruthie. That was fantastic. We hope to have her on again, hopefully for the post game, if we get a win here, which we damn sure should. So in that light, let's go ahead and get our score predictions in. Handsome Jimmy, what are we looking at, man?
First off, Ruthie was great. Brought a ton of energy. I loved it. She knows her stuff. That was great. That was a lot of fun. She's a lot better looking than Brian. So it's a lot more fun to, you know, sit here and look at her while she's talking instead of Brian's ugly mug. You know what I mean? So that's always a positive. But onto the game, I was surprised that she went with the offensive fireworks that she was showing. I was surprised by that. I don't think that's the case. Maybe I'm like too far the other way. I'm thinking like a 17-10 kind of thing, 17-13 with the Miami win. You know, I talked about it on Third and Longo earlier with Tony. It'll be dropping tonight as in Thursday night. But the big thing that concerns me is Belichick against rookie QBs, man. Like, you know, the whole Dolphin Twitter and Dolphin fan base is in love with Herbert. Should have been Herbert. Should have been Herbert this, Herbert that. Well, this dude Belichick just held Herbert to 0 points and made him look like a Pop Warner quarterback. Like, so, you know, how do you feel now
even
about
better,
your quarterback?
Held him to zero while the Patriots offense, which has been lackluster this year, blew them out to the tune of 45 points, something like
yep,
that.
45 to nothing it was. Yep. Yep. So that has me a little concerned, but you know what Belichick doesn't do? He's not the quarterback of this team. There's nothing he can do about how bad Newton's been. The guy was never an accurate quarterback. He had a strong arm. Now he doesn't have a strong arm either. So this Miami defense is going to carry them. That's why I expect a sloppy game. We limit mistakes here, you know, make the plays on defense, and we get out of here with a W.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think I do agree that what she was saying, though, because she did mention that it's probably going to be an ugly game. You know, let's be real here. You got two pretty great defensive minds going up against each other. So it is likely that the defense will rule the day. I think I'm going to land somewhere kind of in between you guys. I'm thinking probably in the realm of 14-21, Miami's way, something like that. Or even 14-17 Miami's way with a King Sanders kick to finish it off, you know, something like that. I guess I got to pick one of those, don't I?
yeah I mean, whatever, you know.
I'm gonna go ahead and say, you know what, forget it, 14-21, let's do it.
It's a good way to hedge your bets though, throw out three scores, be like, oh, I had it.
Exactly.
The one thing she brought up that it also concerns me and that I like, and the reason you shouldn't expect a blowout is this line is sketchy. You know, for people that don't bet, Vegas is basically saying that these teams are even because there's not a lot of home field on the spread anymore. So that line saying that these teams are even or maybe like a point off. And we're not seeing that on the field or on paper. So that's something to be a little nervous about because New England's going to come in here. Like she said, Ruthie said, they're trying to play, you know, ruin the Miami Dolphins season over there. So I couldn't think of the term. What is it when you come in and you ruin, they're trying to play.
Spoiler.
That's the word. Spoiler. Yep.
For sure. And I like what you, I like that same point that you made. Cause I agree. It is, it's the Belichick factor. Belichick versus rookie quarterbacks. He has long been dominant. And so it is something to think about for sure. Although Tua is playing well, he's got what, just one interception on the season so far. He plays very safe ball. He plays very smart ball and hopefully smart enough to not fall for some of the tricks that maybe Justin Herbert fell for. And so, yeah.
Also, Anthony Lynn's an awful coach. Brian Flores isn't. So hopefully, you know, him and Gailey come up with something better than that, you know, ridiculous unit they got over there running the Chargers. So,
yeah. And I feel for it because I always wanted to root for Anthony Lynn. I really did.
Yeah.
You know, but given the amount of talent that they have had out there, they should be better.
Bro, at least a playoff spot, maybe not a Super Bowl run, but man, talent on talent over there.
Exactly. You know, that's so I agree 100%. But okay, I guess we got to do a little bit of house cleaning on our way out. Don't forget to subscribe to the Miami Dolphins Fanatics podcast, Fanatics Miami Dolphins podcast. I got that a little bit mixed up, but I'm on track now. It's available everywhere podcasts are available. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you name it, it's on there. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/FinAddictsNetwork. Check us out on Twitter at @Fin_Addicts. And of course, don't forget the website. If you go there, you can disregard everything I just said. And that's www.finaddictsnetwork.com. Get your parents' permission before going online. But for all of us here at the Fin Addicts Network and for Brian, I'm Savak. This is Handsome Jimmy. Let's go out with the fins up as per usual.
Fins up. Catch a dub.
That's right. Let's go get him. Take it to him.